This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, on Monday, Roseburg celebrated its 150th birthday. There are going to be events happening throughout the next year. A lot going on. Special emphasis on Roseburg's sesquicentennial. And we thought we'd talk about Roseburg history today. Dale Greenlay from the Douglas County Historical Society. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
So tell us, I guess, first of all, a little bit about the Douglas County Historical Society. A lot of people have probably heard about it, but may not know much about it.
Yeah, it was formed in 1953 in order to try to save the Lily Moore House that was scheduled for destruction in downtown Roseburg. And they ultimately weren't successful. The structure was in too bad a shape, but they did acquire all of the furnishings inside, the furniture and stuff, including an organ that came around the horn in 1856. And then in 1962, Catherine Bain, great-great-granddaughter of General Joseph Lane, donated the what we now call the Lane House down at 544 Douglas Street. And since then, we've been maintaining that house, trying to keep it as a little mini-museum and just a good example of the period furniture of that time.
Wow, and that's probably a lot of work.
It is. It is a lot of work, and I can't miss an opportunity to say how badly we need volunteers. We would love to have docents to be there on the weekend when people come. We're open on weekends for people to take tours and stuff, and it doesn't cost anything. All you got to do is stop in, but we need people there to help them.
You know, it's interesting because I drive past that four times a day, you know, because it's just a few blocks from here, and I've never been inside it.
Oh, it's worth going in. It's right now we're open Sunday afternoons from 1 to 4, but there's no admission charge or anything, and we'd like to be open more, but we're volunteers. We're short of volunteers.
That's a common theme these days.
Yeah, it is. We're not the only group that suffers from that.
So you guys do all these different things regarding history. I'm curious how long you've gotten involved with all this.
Well, I first got involved with history about 2004 or 5 when I was called on to help research an angling history book of the Umpqua by some angling historians up in Portland. And doing that, I discovered everything around here is named after old people that were down here. I was reading about the people, and my man of interest was associating with them. And all of a sudden, the history became interesting to me. And I've just been, since I retired, that's kind of what I do, is research our history. And it's a very fascinating, largely unknown history that we have.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of people may know the basics. They, you know, Joseph Lane, and there's some of the things that you can spot very easily from any research.
Yeah, from any, yeah.
But a lot of people really don't know beyond that much about it. Now, obviously, you've done a lot of looking into these things. Talk about Joseph Lane a little bit. I'm curious if we know why he ended up here or how he ended up here.
Well, you know, he came out west as the first territorial governor of the Oregon Territory, and he spent some time in 1851 in California just mining after he'd been replaced by the next administration. But Roseburg, the valley, Umpqua Valley, was just the most beautiful spot he'd been, and so he settled here, and he chose this spot and stayed here.
It's interesting as well with the location of our building. You can just about look out the window and see where the Deer Creek and the South Umpqua River meet, and know that some of the land nearby, that we don't know exactly where, was part of what, you know, was part of his land.
Well, yeah, where he ended up wasn't his land. He started somewhere, I don't know, but then he ended up on top, he built a nice place on top of Strawberry Hill, which we now call Lane Mountain, and he lived a good share of his life and farmed up there. And then when he got too old to manage that, his son Simon kind of took it over, and he moved down, and he had a house across from the Flood Lane house, across the street, was where he actually lived. But he spent a lot of time, his daughter Emily was married to John Creed Flood, who had the house that we have now. And it was Emily's great-great-granddaughter, Miss Bain, that donated that to the Douglas County Historical Society.
Now, when I was researching last week before the party in the park, talked about the first structure he did that was kind of roughly done, probably not a lot of resources back then, that apparently was a grocery store and served some other purposes.
Well, are you talking about Aaron Rose now?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I jumped ahead. See, and yeah. There I did the common thing that everybody does is I mixed it together.
Aaron, you know, the local celebration, the adverts didn't get it all right. He filed a 640-acre donation land claim, and that land wasn't donated by the government. It was part of an act to attract settlers to the Oregon Territory, but you had to pay for the land. And a single man got 620 acres, and a married man got 320 acres. A married man got 640, a square mile, a full section. And Aaron had, where the city of Roseburg now is, a square mile. And his goal, he intended to build the city, and he started selling off lots, and he donated land for the courthouse and for schools. And then when the railroad came, he donated the land for the railroad right away and a railroad depot. He put money behind. He donated $1,000 to build a new courthouse on the land he donated it. He was actively trying to create a city, and it was called Deer Creek originally, but in 1856, the citizens got together and they changed the name to Roseburg. But they spelled it with an H on the end, which was never very, very. So even the newspapers and the ads rarely used Roseburg. And then I think it was 1894, they finally dropped the H into the current Roseburg.
And so my understanding is around the time of the railroad then, a lot of that housing down south of that area was put together originally for railroad workers.
Yeah. No, when the railroad came in 1872, I think that was the biggest thing that ever happened to Roseburg. All of a sudden, Roseburg was the terminus of the railroad from Portland. And so they had to turn it. They got, as a consequence, they got a roundhouse with all the engine maintenance, and it was also the junction to the stage route on south, and the Coos Bay Wagon Road was brought in to full completion in 1872, and that made a big difference. Roseburg turned into a transportation hub, and it stayed like that for 10 years, and in 1882, the railroad started moving south. And in 1887, there's a, quote, golden spike around Ashland where the road from San Francisco and the road from Portland met. And all of a sudden, Roseburg was a big stop on the main line along the West Coast, and it was a boom town. Roseburg was a railroad town for 50 years, and we don't think about that now.
Well, and in fact, the railroad station, I don't know if you know what year it was built.
Well, which one?
Well, the one
the
now
current, yeah, the current one. I don't know what year the current one was built. It's a relatively modern one because there was several built in that 50 years.
Well, and of course, it sat there. My parents tell me from when they lived here. I don't know at what point the railroad didn't use that anymore, but it sat there for decades until McMinimum's, turned it into a restaurant. But obviously, something that big, the railroad really was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, it was. We had passenger service from until 1955. But it was just between Ashland and Portland because they abandoned that rail over the Siskiyous in 1926, and they built an Natron cutoff, which was kind of cut off Roseburg, literally, because all of a sudden Roseburg was just a milk stop in the main line. So in 1926, we started going downhill. The rail really started going downhill. But the depot was in use even after they quit passing. It was still a freight depot. We were still getting freight in and out of there. And yeah, at some point it became inactive before Minimums got it. But I don't know that. I don't know.
And I'm curious, you mentioned Coos Bay Wagon Road. Daniel Robertson and I were talking about this last weekend. I know where Military Avenue is and how, a little bit about that back then. But how did they get across the river back then?
They had a ferry.
Ah.
Tom Owens had a ferry roughly where the Oak Street Bridge is now. And there was a... I've never stumbled across when the first bridge was built, but there was the Lane Street Bridge originally, I think, was the first one built. But... I don't know. I can't remember what year it was built, and I don't know if there was something before. But it ferry service was the way they got across the river for a long time.
Fascinating. More when we come back. Dale Greenlee from the Douglas County Historical Society with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson at 1, Umpqua Valley Live at 4, including our special interview with Ranger Doug from Riders in the Sky. And on Monday's program, we're going to talk with Joe Ray Perkins, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. We'll be talking to Senator Ron Wyden later next week as well. Dale Greenlee with us from the Douglas County Historical Society. We could do several programs, and maybe we will over the course of the year here, talking about history in Douglas County. There's so many things for people to learn. What do you know about what led to the actual incorporation of the city of Roseburg, which we celebrated the 150th birthday of on Monday?
Yeah, it's funny. Suzanne Hurt, she was in charge of the time capsule and stuff for the city and part of that celebration. We were trying to find what led up to it, but there's no newspapers available, and that's about the only source of news. And she couldn't find any city archives or anything. And we just have to speculate. Was it the coming of the railroad and the Coos Bay Wagon Road that kind of brought people into realization that they needed to incorporate, or it had been going on for a long time, or was it just suddenly done? We don't know.
It would seem like, because of the dates, that the railroad must have had something to do with it, though.
Yeah, that's my assumption. Yeah. But it'd be an interesting research for product, because I think it's probably in the county archives. Or it would just take some digging to find it.
Right. What have you learned about sort of Roseburg's early years after it was incorporated?
Oh, boy. My deep research was through the 50s and early 60s. It hadn't been incorporated yet. After that, after it was incorporated, it was a big railroad town. And it was an agricultural, mixed agricultural thing. We had, a lot of people don't realize we grew a lot of hops here and other things. And then in the early 1890s, prunes came to be. We were shipping millions of pounds of prunes every year.
I bet hardly anybody knows that.
Yeah, it's nothing. And that lasted up till the mid-20s when the prune prices fell so bad that farmers just turned pigs into the fields because they couldn't pick them for what they could get for them. And it was kind of sad because that coincided with the Natron cutoff completion. So the Roseburg had a rough time in the mid-20s. They lost their big railroad hub. Their prunes went. And through then, that's when turkeys started to make an ascension. And through the Depression, turkeys supported a lot of the farmers raising turkeys. And they had a big processing plant in Oakland, and people would... My mom grew up out in the foothills of the Coast Range out of Elk Grove, and she talked about the, one of the big days in the fall there was when they drove all the neighbors put their turkeys, and they drove them on foot all the way to Roseburg and put them on the train to Oakland. That was the only day of the year she got ice cream.
Wow.
It was a big deal.
Wow. We've only got a few minutes left, but what about, you talked about the 50s and 60s, as, you know, Roseburg was starting. What are some of the other things you learned about those very early years?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. And we have the answers. The Douglas County Museum has got one of the best research libraries in the state. And I've spent a lot of time, but... my mind's not coming up with something right off the bat on that question.
You know, it's interesting to look at how a city evolves, and you've been here for a long time, right?
Yeah, I was born and raised here.
And then you left and came back, though, right?
Yeah, well, I went off to the college and the service, but then I realized Roseburg was heaven on earth compared to all the other places I've been, so I've been here ever since.
So for you, what do you, when you look at sort of big events, I mean, the blast stands out, but what about other things that are kind of big noteworthy times for Roseburg?
Well, we had the 64 flood, 100-year flood. That was catastrophic. I'm trying to think of some other... Well, the post-war timber boom replaced the railroad, turned Roseburg into a timber town. Don't even need to talk about that. But also, people don't realize that, like, Dillard was the melon capital of the world in the 50s. We had melons all over here, and I miss it. We used to buy melons, and you go to a fruit stand, and there'd be boxes of them just like there are apples, all different kinds, and you'd pick what you wanted, and they were so good. Now you can't find a good cantaloupe or watermelon to save your soul.
Wow.
They aren't even edible anymore.
You know, so all these things evolve. What about the blast, the Roseburg blast?
Yeah. Well, that, I saw that. It shook our house, and I sat up in bed, and right through my window I saw this column, this big white and orange column, and I was due to start at Central Junior High in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm.
And Mom was disappointed because I didn't get to go to the same junior high she went to.
So, what street were you on then?
We were on the corner of Bradford and Broccoli.
Oh, okay.
The northwest corner of Bradford and Broccoli.
Wow. So you could see it? That
oh, yeah. It was 2 miles away, but it just happened the way my bedroom window set was pointed right down beside Mount Nebo and the Mercy Hospital, and I just saw this big column. Clear. It was, of course, we all thought it was an atomic blast, but my dad was standing on the porch, everybody running around thinking, ah, if the Russians had an atomic bomb, they wouldn't have wasted it on Roseburg.
Dale Greenlee from the Douglas County Historical Society. We're going to check in with you again more this year to talk about Roseburg history, but thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.